welcome to another episode of Tech at Work. I am Reema Tendulkar. We are today at India's first international VR film festival and conference, Immersion 2019. While tech words like augmented reality, virtual reality have been buzzwords for a while now, it appears to still be at a nascent stage. While virtual reality is yet to make it to the main stage, augmented reality seems to have fared a little bit better thanks to the AR game Pokemon Go played on the smartphone. But its potential is so much more than games. It can be a game changer in consumer experience. It can provide combat troops, real training in intense environments, and plus it can bring about a social change. To discuss augmented reality and virtual reality and its endless possibilities, I'm now joined by Nathan Gaidhani, who is an immersive services professor and consultant, Ninad Chhaya, the CEO of Go Fidgetal, and Arnav Ghosh, the ex-MD of Blipart, which is India's first AR platform. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. Nathan, let me start with you. Augmented reality, virtual reality, what is the reality now when it comes to AR and VR? Are we still at a very nascent stage right now?
Well, we are, but the key is that certain groups are working out how to get real value out of it, and they are applying it and racing off with it. And the key is for people to not get confused and overwhelmed with it, but understand how people are using it in lots of different areas. So many industries and many applications, from design to marketing to training and asset management, so many areas. And once people understand them, they can start applying it.
So tell me, Nathan, the top 5 test use cases of augmented reality and virtual reality, according to you, which is used in the real world right now.
So in virtual reality, I would say it's training applications. So companies like Volkswagen are applying training applications across the entire staff on the factory line. Then we've got augmented reality being used for field services. So companies like Microsoft with their HoloLens are showing the way for experts to assist engineers who are in the field, and they can be somewhere else and help out live.
So right now, where is augmented reality used in, and where is virtual reality used in? Let's start with augmented reality.
It's on a semi-nascent stage, right? So there are certain kind of businesses which have fully integrated and said, hey, you know, VR has got a larger role to play in solving my business problem.
Like which ones?
Give me manufacturing, right? Manufacturing in terms of, there are a lot of agricultural companies which manufacture, distributes and design, right? Big machineries, right? So if you want to get people trained on them, right? You use a mixed reality headset, create content for sales and training, right? It demonstrated that through this mixed reality headsets, use of that kind of devices, it actually has kind of pulled down the training downtime by almost 60%.
So training is one real use case.
Exactly.
Right now.
Two kinds of AR, VR, if I did segments, right? One is enterprise and one is commercial.
Correct.
Consumer. Right? Enterprise, most AR, VR is used in assembly, warehousing, sales and training, and remote assist, right? Consumer, again, it depends on, it works in retail, it works in automotive, it works in healthcare, education, gamification,
yeah.
Right? So it really depends the role of AR and VR in each of these different areas and genres, right? Depends on what problem you're trying to solve, right? So for example, in retail, if you're trying to solve a problem of showing them a 3D element of a bag that you've just launched, right? So you're creating some wow-ness with AR and VR, right? Then you're trying to drive stickiness for a certain brand, right? Inside the store, then you might want to use VR. But if you want for consumers to have a snacking content outside the store, then you might want to use AR, right? So there is not one use case. I would say there is this entire consumer funnel that exists, right? And you have to define where AR would come in and where VR would come in to solve a consumer, to solve a business problem, take a consumer from discovery to purchase.
So I understand the use of AR on your phones. It's still reasonable. But you know, some of these devices that we're talking about, and you know, I want you to come in on this, Ninad, they're very expensive. Like
yes.
a Microsoft's HoloLens, for
sure.
instance, they're all priced $3,000 and plus.
Right.
So do you see consumers ready to adopt these purely on account of pricing?
So depending on the device, the use cases are also defined. For example, the HoloLens is predominantly for enterprise applications. So a lot of companies are adopting mixed reality, like Arnav mentioned, for training, for maintenance, for making sure that the collaborative design assistants, so remote assistants. And over there, the HoloLens definitely has a lot of application. On the consumer side, if you look at virtual reality, yes, there are slightly expensive headsets like the HTC Vive or the Oculus Rift, which are out there, but they are also being used both from a consumer point of view as well as enterprise. But as technology evolves, as headsets evolve and become more portable, they're also becoming more affordable. So Oculus last year launched the Oculus Go, which was like a standalone gaming device, which was wire-free, right, or wireless. And the Oculus Quest comes out in spring this year, which is again portable. And
how expensive are these devices?
So the base level VR device is basically a Google Cardboard, which starts with a couple of hundred rupees, to the HoloLens, which is the premium top of the line at $3,500 US. So depending on the use case you want to address, it could be something as simple as a cardboard where you put in your mobile phone, or the Samsung Gear VR, which is around 10,000-12,000. You still need a Samsung mobile device with it. The HTC Vive is in the 75,000-80,000 rupees range. And then the HoloLens is going $2,000 and upwards.
You know, one of our experts said that it's used in the manufacturing
yes.
space. And one of your big clients is the Mahindra Group.
Right.
How exactly are you using AR, VR for them?
So with the Mahindra Group, we use the virtual reality solution for providing an immersive training experience.
Okay, so it's back to training.
It's back to training, absolutely. So in a way, it's education plus training because it's about safety practices, right? I mean, when you're working on the shop floor, when you're working in the factory, and you are working with heavy machinery where you need to train them the do's and don'ts of using
what
it.
What about pharmaceuticals? Because you mentioned IPCA is also
yes.
one of your big clients.
So with pharma, it's across, so when you are launching a new drug and you want to educate the medical fraternity, you use it either using as a visual aid, but using augmented reality, you can make it a lot more immersive. You can actually show how the method of application of the drug works. So say you're launching a cardiovascular drug and you want to show its effect on the heart. So using AR, we have kind of created similar experiences. Using gamification, we've had interactive experiences. We've used AR with pharma companies, even on brand relaunches, product launches.
How do you use it for a product launch or a brand relaunch?
So when the whole concept is to be able to show it in a much more interactive and immersive manner. So you hold up an iPad and you kind of show the working of the brand, of how the brand kind of affects your day-to-day life in that sense, or a medical drug which is getting launched, what is the chemical composition of it? Earlier, it was either videos or a printed brochure which the medical company would show and launch. But using augmented reality and even virtual reality, you create a complete immersive experience.
Okay. Nathan, you know, Arnav said that we are in a semi-nascent stage right now when it comes to that. You've been in London for a greater part. You have, you know, a lot of big clients as well. Where does India stand in the global order of readiness to take on AR as well as VR? And do you think the time is right? Like, you know, we're right now at India's first AR-VR conference. What makes the timing right? Are we at an inflection point?
Yeah, I think the timing is perfect, to be honest. A lot of the kind of the groundwork's been done. Some of the kind of the mistakes have been made. So you've got...
So, what are the mistakes which have been made?
Well, it's a whole new media. It doing 360 work, for instance, you know, where did the crew stand? All this kind of stuff has to be worked out. Everything is new. And it's only by practicing and trying things out that people have understood how to work with a new medium.
It's a perfect time. Arnav, in the India versus China argument, or the India versus US and China, how far ahead are US and China in AR, VR and its applications right now compared to India?
we have had a data problem for the last couple of years, right?
By data connectivity problem,
right? We didn't have enough. So when you talk about to any brand enterprise wanting to do immersive tech applications rolling out, right? So India used to do, so all the brains behind the large scale enterprise or AR led applications that happens in China and the US, right? You would see half of the brains are Indians, right? But the challenge that we have had in rolling out a creating a similar marketplace or environment in India, right? The bottleneck was, you don't have enough bandwidth, right? Said we cannot deliver high-end content because we didn't have enough 4G. I mean, our 4G is classically a 2.5G.
2.5, yeah.
Yeah, 2.5G that you see in the US, right? So I think with one of the mistakes that he spoke about, I think one thing that is corrected in the last probably 1 year now, right, is a stabilization of data infrastructure in India, right? And with that coming in, you have lot more consumers consuming video content, rich media content, yeah. Because there's a large amount of video consumption.
Video streaming.
Exactly, right? AR gaming needs that level of consumption to happen. The larger challenge was, again, uptake of devices, right? We, in India, we had a perceptual problem. People say India is a cheap Android market, right? That's true for a certain case. The other problem that we have had was India is a prepaid market, right? 80% of Indian consumers will keep on recharging.
But all right? That has not changed, and all that is not going to help in the adoption.
But again, there is something called value exchange, right? If you throw Indians the right kind of content, they will not mind paying for it.
Fair
right?
enough.
So the problem was, and obviously the other problem we've had is localization. For us, the content that we need to create on immersive tech, right, yeah. you need to kind of localize heavily, right? The problem that you have in Japan, right? For example, you cannot do an English content-led platform in Japan. You have to heavily localize it in Japanese.
What is the kind of content which Indians will consume on an AR platform?
It depends.
Or an AR app?
Gamification.
That's fine.
Right, number one. Sweepstakes, if I get something in lieu of consuming that content, I will, right? Third is entertainment, right? Then anything to do with discounts, right? And then there are certain audiences who would like to, because our retail environment essentially is that you try and buy, right? So you probably you'll probably see something on Amazon, but you'd like to buy it offline, right? Because you're not convinced that what I'm seeing is the right one. It may be counterfeit, right? So I'm saying maybe that's where ARable content comes in.
Okay. You know, one of the panel discussions mm-hmm. in the morning, Ninad, was about building an AR-VR business in India.
Sure.
Now, you have done that already with Go Fidgetive.
Yes.
What were the key takeaways from that?
So the whole initial part of building a business in India is, especially in a technology like AR-VR, is creating awareness amongst your end customers, right? I mean, for us, when we started 3 years ago, a lot of time went into evangelizing why AR and VR will help them improve their business processes. And post that, once the awareness is there, then you kind of need to build a value proposition in terms of a business case. Will it give them an ROI? Right, so it's the moment of discovery and then the moment of awareness, and that's when after you cross that, then the scale is kind of a natural progression. So when we talk to customers, we actually go and do a deep dive with their strategy team to understand.
So have we finished evangelizing it? Are customers aware now? Have we hit the point that they can start actually spending on AR, VR, say in their brand campaigns and media campaigns, or not yet?
I think it's an ongoing process. Every new customer you meet, you need to kind of build the base, but it's become easier. Right? The minute you tell them that, hey, have you heard of Pokemon Go as an AR game, they can connect the dots. And mentally, they build a picture of what AR is. Or when you tell them virtual reality is what The Matrix was about, and then they suddenly realize, that's how the immersive world kind of build out comes in. And then it becomes a slightly easier conversation to make, saying, hey, this is what we can do for you. These are the various possibilities of using AR and VR for your specific business case. A lot of effort goes into understanding what is the problem that you're trying to solve using AR and VR? Otherwise, it could just end up becoming a gimmick.
Yeah. Give me, Nathan, some of the most interesting problems that you have actually solved for your clients using either augmented reality or virtual reality.
Okay, so there was a F1 car manufacturer, and they were very interested in how to best use their space that they've got, maybe out of season when it's not even full of cars. And so we help them to implement tracking around the factory space so that it turns into a tracked VR space. In that space, you can put a full-size virtual car, you can do wind tunnel testing, you can do all kinds of testing with virtual cars, but in a full-size space. And when you have a full-size space, you can walk around it without having to jump or teleport or anything like that and get a proper understanding of what you're designing. So that kind of thing's really exciting. This is away from training now. This is about designing and testing and saving costs on, obviously wind tunnels are very expensive, but virtual wind tunnels, you can do almost everything that you can do in a real one much quicker and with much more analytics coming through of what's going on.
Arnab, in the next 5 years, or the progress from here on till the next 5 years, how do you see augmented reality and virtual reality? I know a lot has been spoken on entertainment, media, as well as training. These seem to be the large use cases right now. But in the next 5 years, what is the progress according to you?
I think I've been thinking about it a lot, right? But I think the tipping point would be when augmented reality typically will become a part of your camera mode, right? So when you switch from still to video, yeah. AR will become as easy as saying, oh, you know, it's on camera. So your camera would be AI enabled and it'll give you all the information that you want. So you just flip open the camera and you point at anything you want. So I would see the entire environment of consumer behavior moving into lenses, right? That's number one. Number two, you want to see a movie, right? But you're not too sure what to do with it, right? So you just point your camera at any of the posters that is flying around, right? And you could see the movie in front of you. So I would see a tipping point happening in 2021, 22, right? And then probably you would have an accelerated adoption of a different kind of behavior coming in. Another thing that I'd see in the next 5 years, there'll be no apps. You're not looking at apps. You have browsers which will be AR enabled. So you don't download anything, right?
You don't have to download a Pokemon
you just open your browser, right? There are browsers which are AR enabled now, which are obviously the use cases are not so strong enough. But it's easier for you to open a browser than downloading an app, right? You open a browser, the browser says, hey, you know, can I open your camera? It opens the camera and delivers you a similar experience, right? So it'll be browser-based, it'll be camera-based, it'll be more visual. The second piece on VR, the world is going to be more virtual, right? And I was looking at and reading something a couple of days back. They're saying that the first 10-year challenge was about Kennedy telling Americans going to the moon in 60s, right? And that was considered to be a huge challenge to surmount, right? Today, if you need to go to the moon, all you have to do is put on a headset.
So I can create content for training. I can create content for a tourist destination that I want to visit. What else can I create content for? Ninad, you want to chip in?
So you can create content for, like I said, tourism, healthcare, education, defense simulations.
How about education? Where
we have an IP in the early education space where we teach preschool kids in the age of 3 to 6 years old English language learning using augmented reality and gamification. Because kids in that age group are not very fluent with reading, right? And they have a very limited attention span. How do you keep them engaged beyond the classroom? And these kids are digital natives, right? I mean, these kids grew up with possibly an extension a mobile phone in their hands. And we have a product where you can scan the book. The book comes to life and it teaches you language learning.
And it's like a 3D, like a jungle, it's like a 3D
Yeah, absolutely.
Animal.
You could have your favorite cartoon character coming to life and teaching you. And you gamify the whole experience, which also taps into the kids' creativity and curiosity. You move up the grades and you can teach them about the solar system. Imagine holding an iPad. And now with ARKit and ARCode, which are Apple's and Android's native SDKs, you can have the whole solar system come alive in your living room. What we learned in textbooks as a 2D drawing, you can actually see relative shapes of the planets in comparison to each other and make it a lot more immersive. Go further up in medical care, right? You can teach first responders in emergency medical services how to, using virtual reality, the top five things to do when an accident victim comes into the ER. So there are a lot of applications when it comes to education alone, but it's also media and entertainment. Instagram and Snapchat pretty much kind of democratize the whole augmented reality experience by putting props. You could create various filters, right? Games. I think games have been the flag bearers when it comes to new technology like AR, VR, and made it a household name. So when you look at Pokemon Go, that was what Angry Birds was to mobile games.
Absolutely.
Pokemon Go did to AR.
You know what? I read something very interesting about Pokemon Go just before coming here. The makers of Pokemon Go said, we created it only because we wanted to get the children out of the sofas. And by the end of it, the Pokemon Go users actually walked 22 billion kilometers.
You're right.
Which is the same as the Earth circling around the moon over a course of 21 years. So that's the amount of adoption we're talking about.
And the interesting bit about Pokemon Go is where the idea subsumed the technology. That was not a great AR experience, the technology that was used. It was the idea of physical and the digital coming together, right? That subsumed the technology behind it.
Okay, lots of interesting insights, but we're unfortunately running out of time. Nathan, we've spoken some of the challenges. He's spoken about the innovation. Your last words on how do you see it in India vis-a-vis the globe?
The key for me is education for people, not in the way we've just spoken about it, but people understanding the landscape that's out there. And evangelizing about it, going out there, showing people what technology there is and what's possible, and just helping people to understand how they could be using it. Collaboration's another big thing coming to VR now and AR, where multiple people are actually working together and sharing what they're doing and helping each other within a space. One person in VR is a bit lonely because you're saying, what can you see? What's it like? But two people, you have one person guiding the other person, then you start to see the power coming in. So that's, for me, what's kind of happening next.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining in and speaking to CNBC TV 8.